Wait for it.
There's no need to wait, geeks. We are back. This is the Active Geek Podcast with your hosts, Jim and Chuck. And Chuck, this is a Marvel episode, finally, right?
Yeah.
But this is an episode that goes kind of back to like our roots where we like skip the trailer park. We're skipping the newsroom. The only thing we're talking about are comics and movies because I got a couple picks of the week. And then we're diving into excessive spoiler territory for the latest Marvel Sony Spider-Man project, Venom, Let There Be Carnage, a movie that when it was announced, we were pumped for. Then we saw the trailer, we were less pumped for. And then we saw the movie, and we'll talk about it. But let's go to my picks of the week. I have a few of them. I believe there's one. I have three of them, and there's one from each, which is always fun. And you know, this is my favorite part of the podcast because I can't read well. And all of these publishers are like, let's put all these fun, you know, ellipses and like all these run-on sentences. So let's go to the first one. It's called A Rightful Thirst for Vengeance by Rick Remender and Andre Arujo.
Oh, Rick Remender. Haven't heard from him in a while.
I know. A new ongoing crime series from the writer of Deadly Class. When an unassuming man stumbles upon a dark web contract assassin's vicious plot to kill an innocent target, he turns himself into one. The professional meets road to perdition in the story of a family's unlikely guardian being hunted by rich and powerful men who are used to getting away with everything. Join New York Times best-selling writer Rick Remender from Deadly Class and Black Science and Andre Arujo from Generation Gone and Man Plus for a uniquely atmospheric murder mystery with sudden bouts of brutal violence. What do you think of that one?
It sounds pretty cool. I like Rick Remender because I really like Deadly Class, but I don't know. It does sound pretty cool.
It sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
Hopefully sci-fi doesn't get it because we know how they treat Rick Remender's fantastic work. But let's go to a book that I've already read. Now, we recorded on Monday. This comes out on Wednesday. And it's from our buddy Steve Orlando. He sent it to me. If you go back to our interview with him last year, I asked him about this. And he said he couldn't talk about it because it was shelved. And it's finally out. And that's Darkhold Alpha, written by Steve Orlando, with art from Cien Torme. Enter the pages of the Darkhold and lose your mind in mighty Marvel fashion. Critically acclaimed writer Steve Orlando joins forces with extraordinary artist Cien Torme for a story that will delight and terrify. For hundreds of years, scholars and heroes alike have searched for the complete text of the Darkhold, aka the Book of the Damned, written by the Elder God Shathan. Go back to our WandaVision episodes, and there's a lot of Shathan talk. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the greatest sorcerers in the multiverse has found it, and Shathan has found him. To save them all, the Scarlet Witch must gather the world's greatest heroes and unleash the inner darkness, and unleash their inner darkness. Witness the Marvel Universe's descent into chaos. This is a must for anybody who likes dark magic, Scarlet Witch storylines, and Steve Orlando. This is, when I say this is one of my favorite books, I'm not even like, this could have been written by anybody. Just the storyline and the script and the art is beautiful. It's like classic Marvel comics. So I highly recommend that one.
Awesome.
And then we go to DC, who loves to put paragraphs of previews for their books. And I'm sure I'm going to mess up because I think this one is four paragraphs. It's called Arkham City, The Order of the World. The Joker's attack on Arkham Asylum left the long-standing Gotham establishment in ruin. Most of the patients killed are missing, and only a handful of surviving staff, a few nurses, a gravely injured security guard, and one doctor. In the chaos of the assault, it is believed that several of the asylum's patients escaped and scurried off into the dark nooks and crannies of Gotham City. Now, these Arkhamites walk among us. And it's up to the asylum's one remaining doctor, Jocasta Joy, to round up the former patients. Meet these Arkhamites, a woman with no face, a piggy in search of perfection, a man who feels nothing and burns everything, a woman who must devour life to save herself, a man unfit for the waking world who looks instead for Wonderland, a body with more than one soul, a being unbound from time who lives in the present and the past, a boy who seeks the comfort of vermin, and the Twisted Man who sees them all for who they are, and witness the avenging angel who stalks them. This fall, join Dan Waters and artist Danai on an odyssey through the deepest depths and darkest shadows of Gotham City and find all new reasons to fear the night. So, probably lost you halfway through that. It sounds very cool. I think they're alluding to already characters that we know, which is cool. So there's that illusion that, you know, we may see these characters that we already recognize, maybe origin stories or little extra little morsels of these characters that we haven't seen in a bit. Because I got, you know, Ratcatcher, I got Firefly, Professor Pig. I got those kind of vibes from those characters. So we'll see what happens with that. And then we got one more. And this one's called Soul Plumber. It's from DC Horror. And it's from the creators of one of my favorite podcasts. I've listened to it with you, and you do not like it. But it's from the creators of the Last Podcast on the Left. And that's Ben Kissel, Marcus Park, Henry Zebrowski. Exorcism just got a whole lot easier. After attending a seminar hosted in a hotel conference room by a mysterious group of guys, a mysterious group called the Soul Plumbers, Edgar Wiggins, disgraced former seminary school student, discovers what he thinks is the secret of delivering souls from the thralls of Satan. But after stealing the blueprints for a building the machine himself, out of whatever he can afford from his salary as a gas station attendant, Edgar misses the demon and instead pulls out an interdimensional alien with dire consequences for all mankind. I'm getting this mainly because I love LPO, Last Podcast on the Left, but also Last Podcast on the Left are like me, you, and Tom.
Yeah.
And they got a DC comic out right now. So I think that's super awesome. So I'm going to support them because, you know, their goals, their podcast / comic book goals. So I'm going to get them. I suggest everybody get them. That podcast, if you're into the occult and serial killers and aliens and conspiracies, that's for you. If not, I don't care. It's one of my favorites. But Chuck, it is that time. This is the earliest we've ever dove into an episode and a topic. Because I think we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of a short movie.
Yeah, what was this, about 96 minutes?
Yeah, a little over an hour and a half.
Just about that. And again, spoiler warning to follow, because we are going to break down, tear apart, and predict the future for Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Another Pascal picture, directed by Andy Serkis, which made, like, when he got, you know, the job, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. It's going to be great. Great is not a word that I would describe for this movie. I saw it. You saw it. We ventured out into the theaters. And I think, honestly, our reactions were like, I liked it. Question mark. Because when I think about this movie, and, you know, I think I speak for both of us, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carnage and Venom are our top two favorite symbiotes.
Yes, 100%. I would put Carnage above Venom, but yes.
Likewise. Carnage is one of my favorite all-time Marvel characters in general. Yeah. He's one of the best Spider-Man villains.
Mm-hmm.
His storylines and comics are of legends. You know, even the new stuff that they have. And when we finally got the tease after Venom 1 with Tom Hardy meeting Woody Harrelson, albeit with that weird Ronald McDonald haircut, we were like, okay, you know, Sony knows what we want. They're going the right direction. It's this, you know, this doesn't have to be a Spider-Man universe. This can be a symbiote universe, and we could work towards that. And then we finally got Carnage, and I remember we broke down the trailer a few months ago, honestly, and we were a little perturbed because it was more odd couple, you know, honeymooners type. Yeah, like the honeymooners type vibes. And then we saw Carnage, and my biggest gripe was that he seemed a little orange. Fast forward to this past weekend, I go and see the movie, you go and see the movie. I will say, I really think they executed Carnage as well as they possibly could, given like the tendrils and the way that he uses his, you know, his arms to turn into the cleaver and the axe. I thought that was brilliant. But I still had my hesitations when it came to the whole odd couple honeymooners vibe. It didn't sit well with me. So what did you think What did you think of the movie so far?
I liked it. I liked it actually better than the first Venom.
I did too. Low bar. It was a very low bar because that first one was a little rough.
So kind of what I expected from getting from the first movie. Like if this was the first movie of the Venom, I'd be like, oh, like, okay, like it was all right. But I think it was an upgrade from the original Venom. I like the original Venom, but again, I don't like the tone. Like I didn't like their direction of how they did it. So with this one, it was very similar. Like it was, like you said, the odd couple vibes. I was like, that's weird. But they kind of had that a little bit in the first one. They just kind of fleshed that out more. My favorite parts were Carnage.
Definitely Carnage was the best. But to your point, like, we're supposed to believe that these guys are a perfect match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, end of the movie, Carnage or Venom and Eddie, they find out that Carnage and Cletus aren't a perfect match, which is completely false.
Yeah.
Those two are meant for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is, like, we're the lethal protector. We're the lethal protector. We're perfect. And we see, like, Venom's trajectory, right? There's that scene where, like, he messes up when Eddie is interviewing Carnage or Cletus, and Cletus bites Eddie. Carnage goes into Cletus. So now we have the birth of Carnage. I was like, okay, cool. Then they go back, and it's that scene from the trailer where Venom's like beating up the punching bags, and you know, he's got chickens, Sonny and Cher, and he's cooking dinner or cooking breakfast for Eddie, and Eddie's like, I just want to live my life. I honestly don't think that they moved anybody's story further as far as like Venom or Eddie, because they're both in the exact same position as we left them a year ago, like in movie times, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a little too comical for me for a Venom. Like, Venom and Carnage are supposed to be dark. Like, there was nothing funny about Venom. And, like, I get it. Why? I get why they did it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. Like, they, you know, you need to make him likable. You need to make, because he is your quote-unquote hero.
And they definitely honed in on him being the hero. Like, they focused on he needs to be the hero.
Yeah, because I'll look at another villain-eccentric movie, which is completely different, was Joker.
No.
They didn't make him like him. They made you hate him. They made you not like him. And because they were going for that, obviously, different tone, different everything part of the movie, but it's two villains. They took two villains and made a movie out of them. One, they wanted you to hate him. Venom, they want you to like him. And that's Venom. I love Venom, but I don't love Venom because he's a good guy or because he's likable. I like Venom because he's bad, because he's ruthless, because he's just, he's a bad guy, and I like that. So that, them making, and I understand why they did it, you know, the whole lethal protector thing, and like they want to make him good, but they made it a little too comical and too light for my taste.
Yeah, some of that stuff I laughed at. Like, I was chuckling.
It was funny parts.
Yeah, if this were a comedy, it delivered. Because I laughed more than I was like, oh, this is awesome. The way I see this, Sony is turning Venom into what Warner Brothers has turned Harley Quinn into.
Yes.
They're not taking him serious. Like, Venom eats people. He bites off their heads, and we saw a little bit of that. But had the movie really stayed true to the comics, and I don't want to sound like a gatekeeper, but Venom comics are dark. You know, there are parts where it's like Odd Couple-ish because, you know, you got Parasite that lives with you and transforms into a raid. If the movie stayed in the same tone as they carried on with Cletus and Carnage, I think that I would love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is it takes away, and they make Eddie Brock like this screw up. And they don't, like, Eddie's not even likable in this movie. Not one bit. He, like, and does more than Eddie does for the first 85 minutes. You know, and you go to IMDb and you see what the synopsis is, and it's Eddie Brock tries to rebound his career by interviewing Cletus Cassidy. He didn't want to be there. Like, he didn't care about interviewing Cletus, and he didn't ask the right questions. It was all like, oh, well, why do you want me here? So, like, I feel like they really, honestly, missed their mark on their main characters, both of them. I think they did a great job on Carnage. They focused heavily on, you know, the love story between Cletus and Francis, and at some points, it kind of felt like two separate movies.
Yeah.
Because you had that storyline and then Eddie's like all Mr. Screw-Up storyline. But honestly, like, for what scenes we had Carnage in, again, like, I echo your thoughts. They were my favorite. But I don't think he was in it as much as he should have been. I feel like this movie could have benefited from, like, 20 more minutes.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, the whole Cletus and Francis storyline, I like.
Yeah, me too.
You know, Naomi Harris was great. And, you know, obviously she's a mutant. They never said that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of weird to me. Like, they just, like, in this universe, they're just like, okay, this woman just screams. And then AG sitting next to me and she goes, is that a copycat of Black Canary? And I'm like, sort of. Like, you know.
If anything, it's... She's probably like the third one because Banshee would have been the first with the X-Men. But like, let me ask you about Shriek for a second. Do we think she's still alive? I know the bell fell on her, but do you think she survived that fall?
I hope so.
Yeah, because I thought that she was a shining star in this for the 10 minutes of screen time she might have had. Also, to that point, very predictable. You know what I mean? Like, that final battle scene, as soon as, like, they're getting married and Shriek did her thing, I was like, Shriek's going to be the key to killing Carnage or stopping Carnage, because honestly, I didn't think they were going to kill him.
That's probably my biggest gripe.
Was it killing Carnage or killing Cletus?
Cletus, because, I mean, Carnage can still survive, but I mean, I guess you can still go, because Carnage is such a big villain and such a powerful and evil villain that you could do so much with him and you kill Cletus. Like, I'm not going to jump forward.
Can we call him Cletus for the rest of the podcast?
Yeah, it's like
Gladiator. All your names it's like every name that you've come up with for your character.
Yeah. But, like, I'm not going to talk about the secret scene. But, like, when I said I expected the secret scene to be, you know, Carnage still in Cletus and some weirdly he grows his head back.
Oh, I think Cletus is still alive.
Even though his head is gone.
Yeah, because I think there's a little piece of Carnage left.
So, but that's what I expected the secret scene to be.
Yeah, had there, so that should have been the secret scene. But had Spider-Man not been what Spider-Man is, we got what we got, right?
But they could have had two. I mean, how many times?
Yeah, they could have, but Chuck, it's Sony. They don't know what they're doing. But I still, like, I think that, go back to the comics a bit, Carnage used Cletus's corpse as a host.
Oh, okay.
So I think we're getting to that point. And, like, they're like, oh, they're not a match. They were a match. And Carnage knew that they were a match. Because you could see them, like, doing the exact same thing that Eddie and Venom do. Like, when Cletus was pulling away from Carnage to show that he was still in there. And at the end of the fight where it's half, you know, that scene from the first movie, it's half Venom, half Eddie. And, like, the weird, like, there's four rows of teeth talking. Like, I still think that he's still alive. I also think Shriek's alive, because I feel like you need more Shriek. I thought she was really cool. And they're trying to build this whole female spider universe. And I think Shriek would be a good kind of fit into that universe. Take her away from this. Keep Carnage. Let him do the hive mind stuff like he does in the comics. And you could do Absolute Carnage. You can do Extreme Carnage. You could do King in Black. Like, they kind of set it up for the third one. Because there's going to be a third one. This is absolutely crushing it in the box office right now. I think it's at like $112 million at this moment. They're setting it up for when Venom says, I have like 80 million years worth of, or 800,000 years worth of knowledge. You know, that's setting up Null. That's setting up, you know, everything. Well, and I thought that was huge.
I mean, they set up Toxin.
Okay, so I was going to ask you if you caught that, because a lot of people are confused because of the way it was cut, right? So the detective who...
Peter Mulligan.
Yep, when he shoots Shriek, she kills him essentially, right? And right after that, the blues... Like, we know that Shriek is in the bell, and then they go right to Mulligan, and his eyes turn blue. And it's the same color blue that Shriek had in her lost eye. So a lot of people were like, did she transfer her powers? I don't think so. I think it's more of the toxin. I think we're seeing Carnage's son, the next generation, the more violent. I think we're seeing Toxin. I think Toxin is the next symbiote. We know that Mulligan now knows that Eddie is a symbiote. So, and he's probably going to have a vendetta against him, and Toxin is, you know, that would make Venom his grandfather, killed his father, so there's, you know, there's the vengeance there. I think they set up a few things, obviously. I think they set up Toxin, but I also think that they set up a little more She-Venom, because when Anne was like, I really like this, I don't, you know, it's invigorating. I feel like we're going to see more She-Venom, too.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw, like, Mulligan, I was like, Mulligan, I know that name, I know that. And then, like, I thought, I was like, wait, that's Toxin. Like, Peter Mulligan was the first Toxin. So, to me, I mean, that's obvious. Like, it's not like, you know, a different detective named, you know, Johnny Smith. It's not, you know what I mean? It was like, you're literally, it's Peter Mulligan. So, like, I don't know how you can't. You just change it, like, it's Toxin. So I was like, okay, he's going to be the third villain.
Yeah. But there's like there's a weird thing about that, though. Like, what caused his eyes to turn bluish white? He didn't really have an interaction with.
No.
Well, I guess, you know, he did have an interaction with Carnage when he had the tendrils wrapped around him. So maybe. Some residual tendril goo
got into his ear or his eyes or something.
Yeah, or his urethra.
Yeah, or that.
You never know. Like, Carnage, you know, he had his, like, his, the tendrils, I like that they made them look like, they looked like tremors. Remember from the movie Tremors? Yeah,
they did a great job. Like, the special effects were really good.
Yeah.
To me, that was the best part of the movie, was the special effects and Carnage. But, like, I was leery how they were going to do Carnage, and I think they did, I wouldn't say justice, and, you know, he was perfect, because they did change the storyline a tad, you know, how he became Venom and stuff like that, but I think for what they did and for what its predecessor, you know, it was a sequel to Venom, I think they did a good job with it, with Carnage.
Yeah, Carnage was the shining star. Woody Harrelson played him fantastically. I liked every scene Cletus was in.
Yeah.
I liked every scene that he was in. I wish they would have built a little more storyline for it, because I just feel like it was extremely predictable. You knew exactly where the movie was going to go. You know, Eddie and Venom break up. We knew he was going to go to St. Estes. Then we knew the next step was going to be the church. Then we knew it was Ravencroft. Blah, 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 blah. Like, it was very point A, point B, point C. Like, they just did bullet points. And there wasn't, like, there were zero twists and turns in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, when we break down Marvel movies, we sit here and we theorize about what's going to happen next and what Easter eggs we saw, and what, you know, is this what that means? And with this one, the only question that we really have is Mulligan going to become Toxin, or did Shriek transfer her power to Mulligan because of the way it was cut? You know, that scene, extremely confusing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did not think that she transferred. Like, I thought, oh, that's Toxin. Like, I didn't get, like, I see where people thought that, but when I saw it, I didn't get
that. Yeah. What I'm worried about is Toxin isn't that color.
No.
At all. He's like a dark navy and red, but that was almost like an Arctic blue, like a whitish
navy,
blue.
I mean, it was a dark scene. Like, you can't have his eyes be navy.
Yeah. Was this movie too dark, do you think, like, color-wise?
Yeah, I guess the prison scene was pretty dark.
Was a great scene. That was really
I was hoping we would see some, like, Easter eggs, like Marvel villains. Like, the one guy was like, there's monsters, and he was like, shut up, C-23 or whatever. But it wasn't, like...
Yeah, that was a little disappointing. There was an Easter egg, and I went deep into, like, you know, stills and stuff that I found online of it. When we're in Mulligan's office, and he's, you know, he's like throwing the newspaper into the phone or into the trash can because Eddie, you know, doesn't give a shit about him. You know, Eddie's selfish. There's a newspaper on the back that says Avengers lose nightmare. Huh. So the Avengers exist in the universe, right? We don't know which Avengers. It would be crazy if that's setting up, like, we've been talking about Nightmare forever. It would be crazy if that's setting up, like, that was just, like, a weird Easter egg that becomes, like, The Simpsons, kind of, like, Sony Venom predicted that Nightmare fights the Avengers. I saw that, and I was like, that's pretty cool. But that, like, really, that's the biggest Easter egg that I saw, besides Stan Lee being on the magazine in the convenience store. And I was, I pointed, like, the theater was, like, semi-packed. And I pointed out, I'm like, it's Stan Lee. And you know me, I don't like to talk through movies at all. But I said it. I pointed at it, and I was so pumped. It was very nice to see that, because Shang-Chi didn't even do that. And Venom did. So that was cool. Let's talk the best part of the movie. And that's the secret scene. And a secret scene... You know, going into this, there were two scenes that I thought were going to happen. When I saw the end movie, or the end of the movie, I thought we were going to get the rebirth of Carnage.
I thought very Wolverine Origins with Deadpool. Like, in the rubble, and, you know, we saw his head. Like, I thought we were going to get, you know, Cletus laying there, growing his head back, or something. Or, like, headless, and then you see... the Venom symbiote crawling into his neck, his open wound.
Yeah, it kind of looks like the toys Sid would make in Toy Story, where it's like the baby head with the Kinect's arms.
Yeah, so like that's what I thought we were getting, or I thought we were going to get Shriek laying there and then a symbiote crawling into her.
Okay, so I didn't think that. That would have also been really cool if that was like a weird way to get Scream. I thought that would have been pretty dope. Also, I guess this is a potential spoiler for anyone who's reading Extreme Carnage, which I highly suggest. It's only 8 issues. They're great. They killed Scream, the symbiote, and turned her into Silence. And the look is amazing, but I digress. The second one that I thought had nothing to do with this entire movie. It had to do with Morbius. I thought Morbius was going to be the secret scene.
I forget about Morbius.
I think the 90% of the world forgets about Morbius. I thought he was going to show up. And there were just some stills that were leaked that this also connect Morbius just... Well, you know what? I'm not going to even say it because I don't want to ruin it for you or anybody else. But you go to the internet and check that out. I thought we were going to see Jared Leto or Tyrese, whoever the hell he plays, or even Michael Keaton, because he seems to be that character that has kind of joined the Sonyverse while being in Marvel. So I thought we were going to see somebody from Spider-Man. Yeah. Now, what I didn't think we were going to do and what we were going to get was Venom, Eddie Brock. Let's say they're at Waikiki.
In a seedy-ass hotel.
In a seedy-ass... Well, they were on the beach, and then they got transported through the multiverse to a seedy-ass motel.
No, they were at the...
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. They were at the Motor Lodge.
Yeah, they were at... They were in, you know, some Tijuana beat-up motel. It kind of reminded me of how... Edward Norton's Bruce Banner was in, like, Belize. You know what I mean? Like, just a
I got Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down living in a hotel in season two or season one. But so we get that. And all of a sudden, like, you see, like, I don't know if you caught it. I'm sure you did. And most, you know, again, tier one active geeks probably caught it. When he's sitting at the foot of the bed, I wasn't even looking at him. I saw J. Jonah Jameson on the TV. I looked at Chelsea and I said, confirmation, Venom is now in the MCU because there is J.K. Simmons. Was that the first thing you saw?
And that's what I saw. I was just like, yeah. Like, I left out, like, kind of like you did with the Stan Lee. I was like, oh, it's J.J. And,
yep. Clear as day. He's sitting right there. He wasn't even saying anything. You see his silhouette on the TV and I'm like, here we go. This is what we all thought was going to happen in Venom 1.
The huge part was, you're kind of skipping, is you kind of mentioned before, he was talking about, like, all the knowledge he knows, and then something started happening. And what happened? Multiverse.
Oh, yeah, I knew. I wasn't skipping it. I was getting there.
But that's how they got... That was before him sitting at the edge of the bed watching the TV.
But you know how I operate, my friend. I am all over the place. And I kind of touched on what Venom had said earlier. Yeah. That was my lead into him talking about, you know, again, this is kind of what bothers me with how they treat Venom. Venom essentially gives you his age, right? Yeah. And his awareness of cosmic universes and what seems to be null. He knew what the Red One meant. He knew about Riot. He knew about his brothers, blah, blah, blah. He acted like a child this entire movie. Venom acted like he was a 7-year-old kid. So I feel like they don't know where they want to go with the symbiote Venom. But, you know, does he want to be in a rave and make friends? Does he want to sing karaoke? Does he want to, you know, whatever? I don't know. They need to get it right in the third one. And I think they will, because whether he's in it or not, Kevin Feige is going to have more input on Venom now that he's tied into the MCU, I believe. So when Venom looks at the screen and we finally get that lethal protector licks the screen, Spider-Man, according to Venom, is a murderer now. He's going to become the hero, but the lethal hero. And I think that's what they're setting it up for, like a more violent, more serious lethal protector Venom. Is that the vibe you got? Were you just like, oh my God, Tom Hardy's now going to be in the MCU. I can't wait. Like, was that your...
Well, I got instantly, like, he saw Spider-Man and just instantly had this hatred for him.
Okay, so do you think he knows about Spider-Man?
No, but, like, it was just, like, this carnal instinct. Like, he saw him and he goes, like, this was just somehow... I don't know. I just got the vibe like he looked at him, seen him for the first time, and was like, I don't like him.
Okay. See, I think there's definitely that, like, you know, there's hate the face, right? You know, Jason Bateman is a hate the face for me. I like him as an actor, but he's a hate the face. Neil McDonough, hate the face. Right?
But you hate everything with Neil McDonough.
No, I love him in everything, but he just plays the role so bad. Rachel Harris in The Hangover was a hate the face until she went on to Lucifer. Yeah. With this, I feel like, because JJ was framing it, that he was like this sadistic, vicious killer. You know what I mean? This teenage boy is public enemy number one. And what does Venom want to do when they're sitting on that beach? And when Eddie says we're the lethal protector, he wants to be a hero. He wants to be the good guy because he knows about Riot. He knows about Carnage. So there's already been two bad symbiotes, right? But there's Lasher, there's Phage, there's Toxin, you know, there's Sleeper, there's Agony. Like, they have all, there's Omega. They have all these other symbiotes that are could possibly show up in the universe, not to mention Null, who, if we tie in this whole universe now, you know, let's kind of conspiracy theory it. Venom, at this moment, Tom Hardy's Venom is in the MCU.
Yeah.
Right. Who's showing up in the MCU in Thor, Love, and Thunder?
You think it's Venom?
No. Gore the God Butcher.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gore the God Butcher has ties to Null and All Black, the sword. You know what I mean? Are we setting up a Spider-Man versus Venom Sony Pictures / Marvel movie, right? Holland, Hardy. And are we also setting up a more connected universe through this multiverse where we're going to get Null fighting Venom?
That's like, very ambitious. I don't see them going that route.
They need to.
Yeah.
They need to.
They
like,
do.
You can't have, like, you can have, but you can't have just seven Venom movies where it's just symbiote after symbiote after symbiote. At some point, let's say the third Venom, because like how long is Tom Hardy going to sign on to this one? You know what I mean? Let's say the third movie is Venom versus Spider-Man, and then Toxin shows up and they have to fight Toxin, right? And then that sets up the last movie for Tom Hardy and maybe even Tom Holland, where they team up and it's Planet of the Symbiotes, and that's where Null comes in.
That would be amazing. I don't think Sony is that smart.
Listen, I'm playing the Powerball. I might buy Sony. It's $600-700 million in New Jersey right now. So I might buy Sony. I mean, I feel like I can buy Sony for like $65 and like a SpongeBob popsicle at this point. What good movies are they putting out? But overall, as we kind of wrap this up, what do you give this movie? This is like the most important question of this, because I don't think I've ever watched a movie where the secret scene was my favorite part. And then I had to rate it. So what do you give this, Geek Grader?
I put above Venom. It would be higher if they was obvious in keeping Cletus.
Okay.
And it would be higher if they did a little less of the comedic, you know, buddy cop, odd couple thing. I'm going to have to put it at 7.2.
Okay, 7.2. That's pretty similar to what you put Doom Patrol. So kind of the same feelings, because you like Doom Patrol, you get kind of lost, and I get it. I'm much lower than you.
Wow.
I think I'm at like a 6.1.
Wow. You said Doom Patrol. After the last episode, Doom Patrol dropped significantly.
Yeah, Doom Patrol's a rough show. But that's not what we're here to. We can shit on DC our entire... We got a DC episode coming up.
I'm surprised. This is one of our most biggest margin. Normally, you know, we're within a half a percent.
Yeah, I mean, this is Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah, that was probably the last one we were really decisive.
Yeah, it's... I think my problem is I hold those two characters sacred when it comes to comic books. You know what I mean? Those like, Spider-Man was my jam when I was a kid because of the animated show, and Venom was amazing, and then Maximum Carnage on Sega. Like, those two characters are my childhood. And I'm 34 now. I finally get both of them on the screen, and you end the movie with Venom eating Carnage, absorbing him, and killing Cletus Kasady. So it's kind of like, for you, like, you're a Star Wars guy. It would be if, like, the end of The Mandalorian end it with Boba Fett killing himself and Luke eating Grogu. You know what I mean? Like, it was
so, I agree.
It's frustrating.
No, I agree. I think I graded Venom or this movie higher because it's what I expected. Like, if this was, like I said before, if this was the first movie of the franchise, I think it would be lower. But it is, it's an upgrade from the original, and it's on par, kind of. Like, it's not like, I didn't go in thinking that they're going to change, you know, and have this trajectory where Venom is going to be this amazing movie, because, no, because they kind of just took what they had in the first one and just slightly upgraded it.
This kind of felt like it could have been the first movie of a franchise.
Oh, you know what 100%.
I mean? Mm-hmm. I like that they took us to Ravencroft. I thought that that was cool. Yes. You know, for comic book fans, I thought that that was very cool. The last thing I will say, and, you know, we don't even have to discuss this because I'm sure you feel the same way, that it's amazing how every other studio trying to make a superhero movie struggles.
No.
And when Marvel just continues to get it right.
So the thing is, you alluded to this earlier, this made a lot of money.
Yeah.
The problem, and we talked about this before, years ago, when Venom was a commercial hit, and critically, it didn't do well. And this is critically better. Commercially, Venom, the first Venom, was a success.
Yep.
This is on that route. But remember when Venom came out, they were like, oh, we don't need Marvel anymore. We can make our own movies, and we're going to do Morbius and Jackpot Madam Web and all this. And I feel that's going to happen
again. Multiple Man.
Yeah. Like,
no, that was Fox. I'm sorry.
That was Fox with James Franco.
Yeah.
But that's what they did. Like, they said, oh, we don't need, we can make our own movies. We can, you know, Venom was successful. We can do this. And that's when they were like, oh, Morbius. Oh, we're going to do a Jackpot movie. Oh, yep. Madam Web. Like, they did all this. And it was like, no. Like, it was successful. But Venom is a powerful character. And I think it would have been anyway.
But honestly, dude, if Disney had Venom and they did Let There Be Carnage, it would have been $800 million movie.
Oh, no. 100%. It would have been, you know, if Marvel had their hands on it, it would be completely different. But, like I said, like, Sony is going to get, you know, oh, guess what? We're making money again.
Yeah,
we can be successful at making Spider-Man movies, like, and that, I feel that's what's going to happen. And I want this movie to succeed. But then, at the same time, I don't want them to get, you know, too big for their britches and go, oh, we don't need Marvel anymore. We're just going to, you know, we're going to make a Chameleon movie. We're going to make a Rhino movie with Paul Giamatti. And
like, well, I mean, they're making a Kraven movie. And I give it 2 weeks before we hear about the Silver Sable Black Cat series again.
Yeah.
2 weeks we'll hear about it. But that's it, man. Frustrated about Venom.
Love Carnage.
Go and see it. If you like Carnage and you've sat through this review and you haven't seen the movie and you were on the fence, still go see it. Because Carnage is fun. I think the design of Venom's pretty cool, and the end credit scene's worth the $12 to go see the movie. But that's it, man. We're gonna get out of here. Next week we've got, you know, it's spooked. It's Geektober. We've got a lot going on right now. We're going to be doing some Disney, I can't even say horror, special. Disney Halloween specials. That kid friendly, so that's gonna be for the kids. We're going to be doing The Long Halloween from DC Comics, both part one and part two. So you've got a couple weeks. They're both available on HBO Max. So I suggest that you watch them ASAP. We're going to do Halloween Kills because why not? We've got Dune coming out. We've got Injustice. DC Fandoms coming out. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But in the meantime, I need you to do us a huge favor, and that's follow us on social media, The Active Geek. Listen to Galaxy Wars. At some point, we're going to put out a new episode. That's on me. I've been unavailable the last 2 weeks. Tom and I are going to AEW this Wednesday, so we might be doing a AEW experience episode. But listen to that. Follow Chuck on social media, Chuck_TheActiveGeek. We'll be back next week with some spooky goodness. For The Active Geek Podcast, I am Jim.
I am Chuck.
And we are out.